Hello and welcome to the Speaking for Him podcast. My name is Andrew Gamson, and it's my privilege each and every week to be your host for this time of encouragement on the journey that we call the Christian life. I do this podcast because I know that the Christian life is a marathon and not a sprint, and we need each other. Well, if you've been listening for any length of time, you probably know that I have had the privilege to get advanced screener links to a few films over the last couple of years, and it's been a great privilege of mine to be able to share these movie reviews as the movie goes out in theaters. This is probably my favorite one of those films. To give you a little bit of a summary, this film is Unsung Hero, and it is the story of how the Smallbone family made their journey from down under to Nashville, Tennessee in the United States, and this family produced soloist Rebecca St. James, as well as the duet group For King and Country. And For King and Country actually produced this film in cooperation with Kingdom Story Company. This is about their family, but I think primarily you'll see, as I did, that this film is a love letter to their mother, who they consider their unsung hero. We'll talk more about the film as soon as you hear the theatrical trailer for Unsung Hero.
Okay, stay close. Let's go.
How y'all doing?
Are y'all from England?
Australia.
Australia. Wish I had an accent.
Dad, I wrote a song. Thought maybe we could ask for an audition.
Oh, that's great, honey. Let's take it one step at a time.
Kay tells me you're a promoter. You know someone looking for one.
Well, I may know somebody who should be.
She's been given a beautiful voice. It's a miracle.
She's a special one, son. Your family? They're not in the way. They are the way.
There's no food. We're almost out of money. We need to make some changes. Kids, we need your help. This is everything we have. And sometimes it's going to grow, and sometimes it will shrink. But it cannot be allowed to disappear. I wonder if she's right. Maybe I'm not meant to sing. Or maybe you're not meant to sing other people's songs. It's going to be dangerous and scary. And giving up, giving in, it's not an option.
Whatever your dream is, I know you can achieve it.
Please welcome my big sister.
My dream is to be like you. It always has been.
This is an extremely powerful movie, and it is much more profoundly moving than I thought it would be. I knew it would be an exciting story because coming from a totally different country, and in fact a different part of the world entirely, is always a journey, but I did not really understand what was in store. I really was moved several times while I watched this film. To give you a brief synopsis of this film, David Smallbone, the patriarch of the Smallbone clan, was a music promoter in Australia in the late 80s, and they had an economic downturn, and he needed to figure out a way to recoup some serious losses and to make money for his family. So he got an idea to go to the U.S. and start a record label in the U.S., and he actually had the music act Carmen as a potential to come on board a new label that he was going to start. So they get over to the U.S., which had its share of problems. There's a pretty dramatic scene early in the film where they're dealing with customs, and then he realizes that the deal that he came to the U.S. for is going to fall through. And so this film basically details the joys and the struggles of, I think, basically their first couple of years in the States, primarily their first year. And it's just interesting to see the way God works in all of their circumstances to provide for them, especially when things begin to look bleak. And I just really liked the way this story unfolded. I like the themes of family togetherness, and I really think it's going to be encouraging to those who watch it, because we really need films and other forms of media that show the positivity of the nuclear family. One of the main things that I have a heart for and talk about on this podcast is the fact that families are the backbone of society, and they are where the difference makers come from. And it's just so neat to see the legacy that the Smallbones have created and how it has grown with their children. And I just love to see stories where God is put to the test and found faithful. And so I think that you'll really enjoy this film. Before I get any further in this review, I want to share with you the cast for Unsung Hero. Just a few of them. There's quite a few in the cast, but a few of the lead names are Daisy Betts as Helen Smallbone, Joel Smallbone as David Smallbone. So, interesting of note at the beginning here is that Joel Smallbone of For King and Country plays his own father in this film. And I thought he did a very good job. This is at least his second feature, because he had a lead role in the film Priceless, which I have reviewed in the past here on the podcast. And just a little bit of inside information, if you did not already know this, I have a movie reviews playlist on my audio website. So if you go to speakingforhim.com and you click on the sermons and podcast link, you'll go to my audio website at sermon.net. You can pull down the movie reviews tab, and all of my movie reviews will be right there on that playlist. So Joel Smallbone was also a writer on this film, and so he was heavily involved. Obviously, it's about his family, so that is really a neat thing to have the opportunity, I guess, to portray your own father and to share your family's story of struggle and triumph through the early years of what became a pretty powerful ministry. So we have Kiralee Berg, I think it's pronounced Kiralee Berger, as Rebecca Smallbone, who would later become Rebecca St. James, basically because her label decided that St. James sounded better than Smallbone. And so that's why she took the stage name Rebecca St. James, and it actually honors her grandfather. Then we have Lucas Black as Jed Albright, Candace Cameron Bure as Kay Albright, and of note also here is JJ Pantano of Australia's Got Talent fame as Luke Smallbone. And of course, that only scratches the surface of this cast, but I think it was cast very well. And we see Rebecca St. James in a cameo as a flight attendant in this film. And we also, I believe, see their youngest sister as a nurse in the scene depicting her own birth. So that is just some very interesting tidbits from this film. And now I would like to share our quote of the day. Our quote of the day is actually a comment from Candace Cameron Bure, who, as I just related to you, starred in this film. and she says this about the story. It's stellar, and it truly is all about family. And it's going through all the hard times, sticking together, coming out through it. I mean, they did an amazing job, but it's really about seeing the journey and what families can go through, but also accomplish together, and especially within marriage, when you're always refining one another, husband and wife. That's what marriage is all about. And so you see through this film that David and Helen Smallbone, the parents, are really struggling to keep their family afloat. They want to remain positive for their family, but they also want to be realistic. You know, from being on a plane for several hours, I think it was like 12 or 14 or maybe even more time on a plane. From that to dealing with customs and having a confusion about their stay because they had told their kids, we're going to be there for 2 years at least, and their visas were only for 6 months, so the customs officers took issue with that, and then they had to interview them all, and that was a very scary beginning to their time in America, to realizing that the one act that he thought he was going to be able to promote, Carmen, had gone another way, and he's now stuck in this country with no job. So he finds some lawnmowers and starts a lawn business and house cleaning business. And he actually gets the chance to clean the house of Eddie DeGarmo of DeGarmo and Key, which later leads to an exciting opportunity for Rebecca St. James to join his record label. Spoiler alert. But all throughout this film, you see David struggling with this idea that he wants to be the provider for his family, which is the calling that God has on a man. But he allows his pride at different intervals to get in the way of being the man that God would have him to be. And isn't that true of all of us, that we can allow our pride to not be in a place that will allow us to accept help? One thing that I learned when I worked at camp in the early part of the 2000s was that accepting help takes as much a humility as being willing to serve others. And it was an important lesson for me to learn. One actually that I've had to learn over and over through the years, because it's not one that you necessarily learn and it sticks with you. I think the struggle with pride is one that we all face, because we all want to believe that we can make a go of things, that we're pretty good, that we are better than the next guy. And the reality is that we are all weak. We all need Jesus and we all need other people. And I think that one of the cool things that this film brings out is that it's okay to need other people. It's okay to ask for help. And really, it's just an important thing because it allows us to work with others to bring about the things that God wants to bring about in the kingdom of God. He places the solitary in families, as the scripture says, and he gives us friends, and he calls his people, the body of Christ, for a reason. He paints that picture for us in scripture because we are a body and we need each other to function correctly. So my general thoughts about this film are that it's an excellent film. I thought it was a story told with depth and candor. They don't shy away from their family's flaws, but they also show triumph over those flaws with the help of the Lord Jesus. And that's an exciting thing to contemplate and to have in front of us on our TV screens. My hope is that people will watch this film with their families, and it will strengthen today's families and let them know the same God that led the Smallbones through their struggle can lead you through your struggle, whatever that struggle happens to be. So the positive things that I noted from this film is the family togetherness. There's a point in the early going of the film when David Smallbone first suggests going to America to try to resurrect his career. And he says, I'll go ahead to the U.S. for a couple months and then I'll send for you. And his wife wisely says, no, we're not splitting up this family. Because it could very easily been that a couple months would have turned into 6 months, would have turned into a year where they wouldn't have been together, especially with things going the way that they did, where the job that he thought he had fell through. And so I liked the family togetherness aspect. I liked the fact that they were on the same page in their marriage. Yes, they had struggles. Yes, they sometimes butted heads, but ultimately they were in each other's corner, and it was just so great to see. Some very key moments where that happened was when David said, give me 2 years, and if it's not working, we'll come home. And so she said, okay, we'll go for 2 years. Of course, their initial visas were 6 months, and as I said, that caused some confusion. But ultimately, it was great to see that togetherness. Then when she was giving birth to their 7th child, Elizabeth, nicknamed Libby, she had some complications with her childbirth, and he stood right by her side, and they weathered that storm together. Of course, that was another issue where he had to be willing to let other people help him, and it was very hard for him to do. I don't really have a lot to say as far as negatives in this film. I think that there was a scene that was a little more intense than I would have thought, but if it was a depiction of something that actually happened, then it probably needed to be there so that you could feel for the situation that they are going through. Again, this is a scene where he's struggling with his pride and he yells at his wife and his daughter and makes them feel really bad about themselves and about the situation. But again, later on, he does come to them and apologize. I'm actually extremely impressed with the job that Joel Smallbone does in the role of his father, as well as a writer on the film. And I'm just so amazed at his talent, because when I first heard that he was doing Priceless a couple of years ago, I wasn't sure how great of an actor he would be. He's a singer, not an actor, but he was breaking in. So I thought maybe he'll kind of just be there to get people interested in the film and he won't be that great. But I actually was impressed with his performance. And I think I was even more impressed with his performance in this film. I'd love to see an interview where his dad talks about how he feels about his son portraying him. And I just think there was power there. And I think the fact that he was telling his family's story was probably part of what empowered his performance to be so good. And I know I've said this on many occasions when I do these reviews, but I feel so blessed to live in a time where Christians are making these quality movies that just make you think and hopefully, as I said, encourage your faith. I think one of the most important scenes in the film is actually when he, being David, goes to apologize to his family, and he apologizes to his daughter and he says, I have behaved like a fool. And he said, I forgot what life is all about and who it's all about, referencing Christ, but you did not. And he commended her for that, and she forgave him, and there was a great reconciliation there. And he humbled himself to ask DeGarmo from DeGarmo and Key if his daughter could have an audition because he was starting a record label. And originally he said, I don't want you to audition with him because to him you're just a maid. And he doesn't think of you as anything more than that. And I don't want him to think that I'm trying to take advantage of the job that we do have in order to get you seen by him. The movie depicts her being rejected by multiple labels before this time comes. And so it really is a journey for her as well as for her family. And, of course, later, after she becomes a successful singer, then her brothers follow suit with For King and Country. And they depict on this film that her brothers are her backup singers for her audition. I think maybe they even backed her up live in concert sometimes before they got their own music career going. But it's really neat to see at the end of the film, there's little bios of the family, and many of them are involved in some way in the enterprises of their sister or their brothers. And it seems like there's a great deal of family harmony, a lot of which was probably forged through this challenging time of transitioning from Australia to the U.S., to Nashville. And so that's an exciting thing. There's one scene in particular that I really want to encourage you to contemplate as you watch it. And that is a scene where David is struggling with his dad's death, so he is basically bedridden for a number of days, and Helen Smallbone, who, as I said, is really the hero of this picture, she takes her kids to a playground, and they're playing pirates, and they're having fun, and then she says, "We need to burn our ships." And the kids say, "How do we make it back if we burn our ships?" And she says, "We're not going back." And on one level, you know they're playing. But on another level, you realize that she's talking about life. That they have to commit to being in the United States no matter what happens. If there's a way to get back, they will go back. So they have to look at life as if they're not going to go back. And you see them symbolically throwing the torches that they're holding to the imaginary ships and burning the ships. And although, again, it's part of their play, you also know that it's a metaphor for what they're committing to as a family, to stay in the U.S., to tough it out, and to trust the Lord. And so that is just a really powerful, moving scene. So, what are the biggest lessons that I take away from this movie? I think there's a couple. The first one, obviously, is that there is nothing more powerful in a family than a godly mother. This woman, Helen Smallbone, kept her family afloat. When her husband was struggling, she was his strength. She stood by him. She's like, "I'm not going to leave you here. I'm not going to give up on you like other people have. I'm staying by your side." And even after that really severe scene where he got angry and she asked him to leave for a bit, she still never left. And I hope that's an example for so many people as they watch this film, because I see so many people, at least in discussing marriage on social media, it's almost this attitude of, if he looks at you wrong, don't worry, you can leave. You can just pack up and call it a day as far as your marriage is concerned. And that is not what God intended marriage to be. He intends it to be one man, one woman for a lifetime. And one of the exciting little tidbits is that April 26, 2024 is the 49th wedding anniversary of David and Helen Smallbone. And so it's just really exciting that they get to release this film on that day. the next lesson that I would put out there is that a family sticking together can do amazing things. And if you encourage your kids, they can accomplish a lot. Rebecca St. James says at one point in the film, before her big audition, that whether her dad manages her or not, she wants him in her corner because it's important to have family in your corner. And so I really appreciate that. I think the idea that family can be a haven away from the cruel and crazy world we live in is such an important thing. And I really like the final scene of the movie. Rebecca St. James is now a successful singer. She's getting ready to go on stage for a concert. And her mom pulls her aside and says, Rebecca, I knew that you could do whatever you set your mind to. If you could dream it, you could do it. Something to that effect. And her response is, my dream was to be like you, Mom. And it always has been. And I was just extremely moved by that. That despite the fact that she was gaining great success as a recording artist, her biggest dream was to be someone like her mom, someone who was unshakable, who would be there for her family. And now I believe she's raising three children of her own. So that was just really encouraging to me. So now we come to the point in the podcast where I give you my rating. I think this is a great film for the whole family, and I'm going to give it my rare 5 out of 5 stars. I really couldn't think of anything that wasn't great about this movie. I thought they did well with the casting. I thought that they did well with the cinematography. I thought that they did well with the depth of story. And as I said, they showed their flaws, but they also showed them claiming victory over their flaws. They showed them having struggles, but not giving up in the face of struggles. And I think that is something that we all need to realize, because no matter who we are, we all have our struggles, we all have problems in this life, but we know if we are a believer in the Lord Jesus that we have an advocate, Jesus Christ the righteous. He forgives us of our sins and he helps us to walk through the struggles of life. And as much as it's hard to admit, the reality is that when we have a smooth patch in life, it's much easier to forget to spend time with God and to be before him in humility and gratitude. When we have tough times, it forces us to look up. There is mention of Psalm 121, verse 1 in this film, which is, I will look up to the hills, from whence cometh my help. My help cometh even from the Lord who hath made heaven and earth. And it's my hope, as you watch this film, that you will realize that the Lord is truly the source of help for those who call upon him. He is the only sure and certain thing in this ever-changing world. Hebrews says, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Well, that's about all the time I have for this week's episode of the Speaking for Him podcast. But until next time, have a great week and keep serving the best of masters.
Thank you for listening to today's episode. Your host has been Andrew Gomeson, founder of Speaking for Him. For more information on today's show and to leave us comments and voicemails, visit speakingforhim.blogspot.com. You can find Andrew's ministry at speakingforhim.com. That's speaking, the number 4, H-I-M. You can also interact with us at facebook.com/speakingforhim and on Twitter at speakingforhim. And when you look for us on iTunes and Stitcher, let us know what you think of the podcast by leaving a rating and review.